Hi everyone, my name's Cassie. This is the first addition to a trilogy over food. That's right, you get two more chances to hear me talk about it. To begin, I kind of wanted to address the three videos that I filmed over my food journey, as well as a diet that I did for 4 weeks. These videos are on my YouTube channel, which is just Cassie Bunting. That's besides the point though. Today I'll be addressing sugar on the brain and body. I wanted to begin this with talking about type 2 diabetes. As defined by Mayo Clinic, type 2 diabetes is a chronic condition that affects the way your body metabolizes sugar. Your body does not produce enough insulin or uses the insulin ineffectively. I guess there's no exact rhyme or reason as to why people get type 2, other than factors such as little physical activity and poor eating habits. With this being said, it cannot be cured, only treated. With further research, I learned the difference between good and bad sugars. Keck Medicine explains how good sugar comes from bread and pasta. This is called glucose. On the other hand, bad sugar comes from junk food, like soft drinks and candy bars. This sugar, known as fructose, is bad for a multitude of reasons. Kathleen Page, MD, who is an assistant professor of clinical medicine at Keck of USC, has spoken out about the effects, saying, "Too much sugar breaks down collagen and elastin in our skin. With the breakdown comes the inability to repair skin cells." Researchers have also found that chronic consumption can make the brain's anorexigenic oxytocin system weak, which leads to overeating. Harvard took on a 15-year study that showed people who got 17 to 21% of their calories from sugar had a 38% higher risk of getting cardiovascular disease in comparison to those who got 8% of their calories from sugar. With all of this evidence, not to mention cavities and weight gain, I think monitoring the type and amount of sugar you intake would be a beneficial way of sustaining a healthy lifestyle. Food is also seen as an addiction. I've come to the conclusion why that might be. To many, and honestly most people, food is seen as a reward. Pigging out on sugar and fatty foods is a celebration. I mean, think about it. People around the world celebrate birthdays with ice cream and cake. Holidays like Thanksgiving are known for extravagant dinners. When someone resists, they are seen as being a stick in the mud or are told they only live once. But what is living if your body is in bad condition from the fuel you put in it? These poor habits, in my opinion, may stem from those that parents teach their children. I went to the internet to see if anyone else shared the similar idea, and found an article wrote by Michigan State University. The article talks about the topic, saying, "Using sugary foods or calorie-dense foods as special treats for good behavior can increase a child's desire to eat these types in the future." This brainwashes kids into associating unhealthy foods with good behavior, not to mention that studies show that eating sugar releases dopamine in the same way in a similar way to drugs and sex. Another topic I wanted to touch base on is high cholesterol. Mayo Clinic defined the issue as being high levels of cholesterol. Pretty simple, right? Wrong. Mayo Clinic also describes the lack of regulation to be fatty deposits in your blood vessels, which makes it harder for the passing through of your arteries. This can cause heart attacks or strokes. Using an article from heart.org, I learned that some causes of high cholesterol are an unhealthy diet, lack of physical activity, smoking, excessive weight, as well as being hereditary. When you get high cholesterol from heredity, it is called familial hypercholesterolemia. No symptoms of bad cholesterol will show. The only way to find out is through a blood test. When my doctor told me at my routine checkups that I had high cholesterol, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked. I thought about my diet. I thought about how I frequently indulged in salt and fatty foods, as well as sweets, but not nearly as much as others. The CDC stated that only 7% of U.S. children and adolescents had it, and I was one person in the 7%. I changed my diet and ate healthy before my next checkup, but the results came back the same. My family and I were confused. I have been in a normal weight and height range my whole life. I was fairly active from cheer, and I definitely wasn't going near tobacco. That's when I learned about familial hypercholesterolemia. I asked my family, and it turns out that my grandpa had high cholesterol. This self-discovery piqued my interest in food. It's why I chose to do my challenge over eating and changing my habits. It's why I'm here now, talking to a microphone, hoping to inform someone else about what I learned. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Stay tuned for the next one. Bye.